Hello there, this is Stefan Wissenbach from Engagement Multiplier, and I'm here today again with Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach for our podcast series called The Engaged Organization. And today we're going to talk about why we love entrepreneurs.
That's great. This is really interesting, Stefan, because you and I, who operate in different organizational worlds, you in the Engagement Multiplier and myself in the Strategic Coach, we're in complete agreement on this point. And I think that anyone listening to us, when we explain why it is that the focus here is on entrepreneurial business owners and their organizations exclusively, you'll relate to this.
Absolutely. I'm a bit biased because as an entrepreneur myself, I'm passionate about entrepreneurialism, and I've spent my whole working life working with entrepreneurs. And in the very early days, some 25 years ago, when I started my consulting firm, I started consulting just with entrepreneurs, wealth creators, because I loved the contribution they were making, how they were in control of their futures, how they were creating jobs, and how they were able to make decisions. That's evolved over the last 25 years, and having spent 20 or so years helping entrepreneurs to become more engaged with their own personal futures, we also started to help their companies to become more engaged. The interesting thing about entrepreneurs is that they normally have tremendous vision and they have tremendous focus. And one of the things that I noticed 20-odd years ago was that the business that they ran, they wouldn't dream of running it without a business plan or an important project. They wouldn't want that run without a project plan, and yet the only written plan they had for themselves was a written plan for when they were dead, which is a will. And so what we started doing with them was helping them to become engaged with their desired futures and helping them to create a written plan for whilst they were alive. And that then translated into how they could also then help their businesses or create an engagement in businesses has become a real hot topic over the last 10 years as everyone wakes up to the transformational impact of having an engaged organization. And so I've naturally, as an entrepreneur, naturally dealt with entrepreneurs and continue to deal with entrepreneurs and love dealing with entrepreneurs. That's my side of it. Dan, what about you?
Very similar. Mine starts in the early 1970s. I just jumped out into the marketplace after having spent a number of years with a big global advertising agency where I was a lowly copywriter. Very, very cheap hire, I might say. But what I noticed when I focused on developing my coaching career, that there was a radical difference in coaching someone who may have been a very, very important manager in a corporation, may have been an executive in a government organization, a nonprofit organization. On the one hand, all those three on the one hand, and then on the other hand, someone who actually owned their own business. And I just noticed it wasn't a matter of degree. It was a matter of kind. This was a totally different kind of creature. And it had to do with ownership, that they actually owned it, which meant that their notion of their rewards was much higher and their notion of the investments that they were going to have to make and possibly the risks that they were going to have to take were much greater, and they were personal. They couldn't avoid accountability. On the other side, a lot of the success in those other organizations is the degree to which you can avoid accountability. And in the entrepreneurial world, it's the degree to which you embrace the accountability. And I think that, to me, is the total thing and the kind of conversation you can have with the entrepreneur, because that's really what we want to talk about here, is total. Because if you're talking about the future, there is no other future besides something that they've already embraced legally and financially, and they've committed themselves to it. And I think that's the real reason. I have their full attention when I'm talking to them about their future, because their personal future and their business future are exactly the same thing.
Absolutely.
They aren't putting together a resume so that they can move someplace else. Their resume is the organization itself.
Absolutely. And we've noticed over the years that, in fact, now our focus is with Engagement Multiplier, we want only to work with businesses that have identifiable ownership, where there's bravery amongst owners and leaders, an appreciation of the power of engagement and a commitment to follow through. And I have had some experiences, or several experiences, and I'm not going to name and shame very large corporates, but we have a number that we've dealt with we don't deal with them anymore, where very quickly we noticed that actually you may get a directive at a senior level from a CEO or a senior partner to actually say that we're very committed to engagement. We would like to work and we want to help our employees to become more engaged. And actually, very quickly, that energy very rapidly dissipated. And actually, as you move through the organization, you very quickly find that the whole thing breaks down because actually everyone's, in many cases, that everyone's, they're out for themselves. They're not connected around a common purpose, an engaged purpose. And it becomes very, very, very hard for the employees, the people at the front line that everyone wants to be engaged, to even get the attention that they deserve.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing is that even though the business of actually creating an entrepreneurial organization is really quite difficult, and a lot of people really don't appreciate it because entrepreneurs, for the most part, are self-made people. Yourself, Stefan, and I come from backgrounds where there was no privileges or advantages. I wasn't taking advantage of anything. I wasn't born into anything, which in some way, retrospectively, was actually an advantage because I didn't have anything to live up to. So I've actually created it in the marketplace. And the vast majority of entrepreneurs who are in the strategic coach, it's exactly the same story. But once you've established yourself and you've gone through the critical trial and error, and there's a lot of failure too. Entrepreneurs deal with failure in a totally different way. There is a sense that you have almost an unlimited future. And if your personal goals and your company goals are consistent and aligned with each other, then you can make promises and you can make commitments to everyone who's around you that this isn't something that is going to be for 3 years or 5 years. This could be for 25 or 50 years. I think it's that ability to commit long is the defining difference between entrepreneurial owners and the leaders of other organizations. They have no guarantee that they can make any commitment, even about their personal involvement in their organizations. There's no predictability about their future, and therefore they can't make commitments that other people could really attach their lives to. If I tell one of my team members, I just want you to know, 25 years down the road, I'm going to be coaching a strategic coach workshop. It's going to be at a higher level and for a higher price. But I can guarantee you I am going to be there. And I'm thinking every day about my fitness, my health, my energy, and my constant increase of creativity. I can make you that commitment that I'm going to be here. And that's very important for them because to a certain extent, I've given them a sense of reassurance about what otherwise might be a great deal about worry in their life. And if they like the deal here, if they like coach, then they can also plot out much longer than other people who, say, work for organizations whose survival may not be guaranteed in the marketplace. So that's an interesting thing.
It removes a tremendous amount of uncertainty that would otherwise exist in a team member's mind, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It gives them the ability to, with that removed, make plans themselves, become more engaged, and actually start to align what they're doing with what the organization's doing. And it's interesting because not every team member, I think just sort of a bit of a tangential point here, but I think the great entrepreneurs that we deal with realize that not every single team member is going to want to stay on the bus for the entire duration of the journey. And the really great entrepreneurs get that and embrace that and say, well, whilst you're here, for the time that you're here, let's work together and let's make sure we're all aligned on achieving the purpose that we have. But because I'm an engaged entrepreneur, share with me what it is that you really want to do. And to the extent that I'm able to, I'll help and facilitate that happening. And so what then happens is you have a really engaged team member who gives it their all whilst they're here because you're helping them achieve what's really important to them. They probably even hire their replacement. They probably even train their replacement. And you have a business that runs much more seamlessly. And so I think that stability, providing that environment where you're saying, I'm going to be around for the future, this is what we're doing, and then facing up to the fact that for those that want to stay and those that want to continue to be a part of it, you're going to embrace that. And for those that don't, you're also going to embrace that. It just enables you to run your organization so much more effectively.
Stefan, I'm going to play the part here of the devil, and the devil is coming to you with a deal. You know, it's a very, very good deal. So I'm the CEO of a public corporation, and we meet, perhaps we're in a trip, and you just are in a situation where you're chatting with this individual about what he does and what you do. You tell him about the engagement multiplier and what you do, and he says, you know, I've been looking for something like this. I want you to know any check that you would want to have for this, I can write that check. We need this in our organization, and if I like it, you know, not only will I put it in this organization, but when I move on to another organization, I'll take the same platform with me. I consider this one of my outstanding advantages in going anywhere as your tool, and so just say the word, I can make the decision. Just say the word, I can write the check. And you would say to that individual,
is this my coach's way of getting me on audio, committing to something? Well, it's very simple what I would say, because I had this conversation the other evening. I just happened to be in Chicago. I was at the Peninsula Hotel, and I was just got in on a late afternoon flight, and I popped into the bar at the Peninsula. I know Tim, the barman there, very well. He's a lovely chap, the youngest 50-year-old that you'll ever see. Sat next to me was a Mexican couple on my right, and on my left was a guy from a large corporate. And we just got talking, and we got talking about what I did, and we got talking about engagement multiplier. And Roger, the Mexican, is a very successful entrepreneur with 5 businesses, and Roger's now in the process of becoming a client. And the chap on the left wanted to pursue the discussions, and I said it probably wasn't appropriate at this particular point in our journey. And so to sort of answer your question a bit more, why did I do that? I did that because engagement multiplier at the moment as a business, all of our experience and research shows us that the organizations that respond best to the program are those where there's identifiable ownership, that care about engagement, and they're prepared to take action. And that's a very, very big market. We look after companies that typically range from having 10 up to circa 1,000 employees. And that's a big enough marketplace for me to make a very big difference with engagement multiplier. We don't need a bigger pool than that. And I think that one of the golden rules of business is focus. And I think you said to me once, the smaller the niche, the bigger the market. But if a large corporate came along and said, we wanted to implement this, now the answer is no. In the future, we may one day have the capability to be able to go in and assess whether or not a large corporate body is capable of following through with the value that's delivered by the program. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with the team the other day about this because the health service came up and other sort of large organizations, some of them government run, where there's just unfortunately a huge amount of disengagement and a huge amount of waste. And one of the team members said, because they're very passionate, my team, about engagement, which is what you'd expect, wouldn't it be great one day if we could go in and help these organizations? Because there's people, there's humans working there too. They'd like to be engaged. I said, well, one day, yes. When they're on the airplane, what they say to you is, in the event of an emergency and the oxygen masks come out of the ceiling, I said, put your own on first. I said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to help entrepreneurs and business owners that are in our space. And one day, yes, it would be great as engagement multiplier grows for us to be able to, I believe we will have, as we have already, an expanded team of experts on engagement. And I'm sure we could go into these larger corporates and help. And that may be great fun and very rewarding for the team members here. But right now, the smaller the niche, the bigger the market. Our focus is on businesses with identifiable ownership and brave entrepreneurs that care about engagement.
You know, it's really interesting if you look at any economy. So countries are graded on separate economy. There's the global economy, but then there's the component parts of the economy, and that's usually done on a country-by-country basis. There's a direct relationship between the power of any national economy and the amount of new business formation in that country. One way you could look at it, it's kind of like a vast spring of water that's coming up from somewhere deep in the earth, but it's at the top of a mountain, and the spring is going down in all directions, so there's rivers coming down. The more action there is, the more possibility there's going to be for corporations to form. Corporations always form after entrepreneurial business formation. And the really important, crucial thing there about whether an economy is going to be very, very vibrant, very, very rapidly growing is the number of small organizations entrepreneurially owned that become big entrepreneurially owned organizations. It's the movement from small to big. And what fascinated me about the engagement multiplier when you first proposed it was that for the most part, the barriers to getting big for small entrepreneurial organizations usually don't involve skill. They usually don't involve the importance of their product, the value of their product or their service. It's an internal dynamic inside the organization where everybody in the organization is given permission to grow. There's kind of a company-wide permission. We're going to grow as an organization, but you get to grow where you want to grow inside the organization. And it seems to me that as this takes form in the world, the engagement multiplier, and I've told you this right from the beginning because I'm a big history nut and I look at all these things, that if you had to pick a spot in the 21st century world where you could make the greatest contribution to the overall welfare of everything going on in the world, there's no more important point that you give the tools to ambitious entrepreneurs to grow their companies and to keep growing their companies and almost have an unlimited future of growth. And if you could provide them with a tool, a platform, which would more or less guarantee that more than any possible other thing, that would be the single most important economic resource that you could give to the whole world. I actually think that that's what you're doing here. I think what you're doing right here in terms of economic growth on the planet is the single most important factor.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. It's humbling to hear, but wonderful. I love how with the entrepreneurs that we deal with, they're able to, well, they just take action. It's learning followed by action very quickly. And I don't think you get that as much in large corporates. You end up with, I've noticed this when actually we're talking to prospective clients, you're talking to the entrepreneur makes a decision pretty quickly. They get it. They go, I'm in. If you end up dealing with a person that runs the HR department, it's a different set of motivations because if they make the decision to put in the engagement multiplier program, what's going through their mind is, if this does not work, I'm not going to look great, okay? And so it becomes a different set of motivations. And I think that's very relevant when it comes to the difference between a corporate mindset versus an entrepreneurial mindset. And brave entrepreneurs will take the learning that comes from scoring engagement and getting feedback from a team, and then they will act on it. Quite often, and you'll know this, so many entrepreneurs, they can almost turn on a dime and actually take action, whereas the larger corporates tend to take a lot more time to make decisions. They tend to be slower to act. They tend to be much more in the way of committees and meetings and things like that before anything happens.
Can I ask you a question about that? Because you've been through the sales cycle now with dozens and dozens over the last couple of months of entrepreneurial companies coming on board to the engagement multiplier. What is typically from you're getting their interest to the first survey being done? What is the time frame? Because it's, I tell people you could say yes today and it would be a reality by the time that I talk to you the next time when you come back in 90 days. To the workshop because we operate on a quarterly basis in Strategic Coach. 90 days is a no-brainer, but within that 90 days, how quickly could it happen?
How quickly it could happen is literally within about a week, okay? We're fully automated and we built this wonderful digital platform that manages everything and we can get set up literally in a matter of just a few days. What tends to drive how quickly the program gets launched with an entrepreneur is us encouraging the entrepreneur to kick it off right. So if all of a sudden one day every member of your organization simply gets an invitation to participate in an engagement multiplier survey out of the blue, you're not going to get the same value than if you spend some time explaining to the organization why it's important to create an engaged organization, the benefits to them of being part of an engaged organization and ultimately a self-multiplying company, and actually help them to understand why you're doing it, the motivations behind it, and sort of setting out for them what's going to happen, but also reassuring them of your intent to actually take action, reinforcing the fact that it is absolutely confidential and anonymous, and you want them to be totally authentic in their answers. Because if you do that, and incidentally, we provide every single client with step-by-step guides, and we make this whole process really easy for you to do. We even give you the templates for the emails and the launch messages and everything. So we've got a done-for-you system to make it very easy for any entrepreneur to launch. But it does require, if you want to launch it really successfully, some form of communication from the owners to the organization. And so that's what tends to drive how quickly we can get out there, because it might make sense to wait for 3 weeks until there's a company-wide meeting. I mean, we can be up and running in literally days, but we would rather that you wait until after you've had the opportunity to announce it properly, because then you're going to get the best impact. And when you get your first set of survey results back and when you get your first scores, there's a certain amount of eagerness to see where did we score. But also what will happen is if you've launched it properly, you'll end up with the best comments. You know, you'll get these authentic, considered remarks from the team members, because in my experience, team members in an organization do want their business to be better. And if you ask them to give feedback on how they can improve things, they will gladly do so.
One of the things I found was really, really crucial. There's a score. You get an overall score of how the overall organization grades itself from the standpoint of engagement. But for me, the equally important score coming from the engagement multiplier is actually the participation rate. And so we had a very interesting experience, because the first time we did it, and let's say there were about 110 individuals who were plugged into the system, we had 83% participation, which I thought was really great first time through. And then we got a little wake-up call, because the second time we did it, we got a 69%. You know, every piece of information, whether it's a positive score or a negative score, is absolutely valuable experience. So I got that 69% back, and I said, oh, I wonder if they think this is another one of those things that Dan and Babs get really enthusiastic about, but they don't really have a lot of follow-through. So it was a neat thing to do. So what it did is it had put both myself and Babs on high alert for the next quarter, saying, you know, we're really serious about this. And there's no reason. It takes 10 minutes for you to go through a survey. We give you 10 working days to do it. You've got the 10 minutes. And we really want to know how you're looking at your engagement level, what you observe as the engagement level of everyone else in the organization, including Babs and myself. And we're really serious. Your vote really, really counts for us. And we went from 69% to 97% the next time. And I considered that improvement in the participation rate in the survey equally important with the actual what the engagement score was. And then it was kind of funny, because this kind of shows there's kind of an interesting mentality that goes along with the score. So I said, you know, next time I want 99% participation. And I said, 99%? Why would I go for 99%? I want everybody. I want you to vote, but I don't want you to vote. So we get 99%. I said, let's go for 100%. So I'm putting a lot of push during the period coming up to the fourth survey to actually get 100% once, so that we know what 100% feels like, and then let's get 100% from then on. And my sense is that the participation rate will drive the other rate. The steps that we take to even increase our seriousness and our intentionality about the importance of the survey every quarter will actually come across as higher engagement for the entire organization.
Absolutely. I think they feed off each other, don't they? Because one of the things that I think a lot of team members suffer from in organizations is sort of survey fatigue. You know, they get another survey, or something happens, and quite often in a lot of businesses, those surveys don't necessarily result in anything meaningful. quite often the employees don't even get to know what the results were. I mean, one of the things with the engagement multiplier that's very important is the minute the survey closes, the individuals can look on their own dashboard and they can see how the company scored and they can see how their score compares to the company. So they're immediately getting that instant gratification from being able to see for their input what the output is. I think that also to avoid survey fatigue or to avoid fatigue with any program like this and to keep participation rates up is the minute you consistently acknowledge, give it prominence, and then take action. And actually, as you've done today when we were talking before today's podcast and we were talking about some of the initiatives that have taken place in the business as a result of the program, and some of them quite small, big impact, you know, well, everyone gets to see that. Everyone gets to see the new screen in the coffee shop. Everyone gets to see the things that are happening around the business that absolutely come from people being listened to and respected. And then people then want to participate more. It's sort of a self-fulfilling thing. People will want to take part because it's doing good.
Along with that, I'd like to just stress that the urgency that I felt and Babs felt to get the participation score up was there in a way that I can't imagine any corporate CEO or government CEO walking around and actually talking to people individually and say, look, this is going to be with us forever. I want you to know that every quarter for the next 25 years, we're going to be doing this survey. So let's get to the top right away and stay at the top. And I can't imagine anyone who isn't the actual owner of a company having that sense of urgency and intensity. And the reason is that I'm here for the long run. I want life to be great for me, but I also want life to be great for you.
And that's how entrepreneurs tend to be that want to run engaged organizations. It's fabulous. So thank you, Dan. It's been another very interesting discussion, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to us today. If you'd like further information on the Engagement Multiplier program, please visit engagementmultiplier.com. And we look forward to coming back with another podcast soon on how to create an engaged organization.